called A Revival of Prayer. This is part two in our series, and I encourage you to take screenshots of what you see on the screen, make a note of the Bible verses you see, take note of the great dad jokes, and try and remember what you've heard today, because otherwise it goes in one ear and out the other. And I'm going to start with a quote from Billy Graham. Who's heard of Billy Graham? World's greatest evangelist. And I've been so inspired. I got to spend 2 hours with Will Graham, his grandson, while I was in the US. And just to hear about how he travels the world preaching the gospel. He's coming back to Australia in the Gold Coast to preach the gospel next year and believing for a great harvest of souls. Here's a quote from Billy Graham that he said about prayer. Hopefully we'll have that up on the screen in just a moment. It says, "We are to pray in times of adversity, lest we become faithless and unbelieving. We are to pray in times of prosperity, lest we become boastful and proud. We are to pray in times of danger, lest we become fearful and doubting. We are to pray in times of security, lest we become self-sufficient." The bottom line is we need to pray, amen? Why don't we stand to our feet and let's just pray together and just seek the Lord as we open His Word today. Father God, we just want to thank You for this Philippines trip, for all those 400 salvations. We bless those precious souls in the Philippines and we pray for revival in the Philippines. We thank You for the 24 salvations we saw on Friday around this city. Bless those new believers, Lord God, and bring revival to this city, we pray. Father, we thank You for the move of God we're hearing about in Asbury in the USA. We pray You continue to pour out Your Spirit in the USA and bring revival. Bring revival to this nation and to the nations of the earth. And Lord, we know that every great revival is preceded by great times of prayer. So Father, as we stand in Your house today, we ask that You would come and speak to us through Your Word. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now remain standing for the Word of God. Last week I shared that I preached at a black gospel church and they stood for the Word of God and then they cheered at the end of it. So I want you to listen to this verse or this section from 1 Thessalonians. Actually, we can all read it together if it's on the screen. Maybe we'll start with verse 12. Can we go back to verse 12? I'll start reading it and if it turns up, you can read along. "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other." Let's go to verse 14. Ready? We'll read together. "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strives to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." Next slide, verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's go to verse 19. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil." Let's keep going. Next one, verse 23. "Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters." Next slide. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And everyone said, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Okay, you may be seated. God bless you. Yeah. When I was at that black gospel church and I started reading the word, they just all stood up and they were going, "Amen, preach it, brother." And you have my permission to do that today, okay? Preach it, brother, amen. One person's excited, hallelujah. The guy back from the mission trip is excited. But how many of you know we're all on a mission trip? Amen? You know, I was sharing with Pastor Chris that many years ago, I became senior pastor of New Hope when I was 30. And at the age of 33, I went on my first ever mission trip to Cambodia. And I saw extreme poverty. I saw a nation that had been ravaged by war from the Khmer Rouge. And my heart broke for that nation. And I came home to my wife and I said, "Honey, we're selling up. We're moving to Cambodia." And she goes, really, honey? Let's just pray about that. And we felt God say that we could do more for Cambodia by being pastors of this church than if we moved over. And so what we did is we started sending short-term teams over to Cambodia. We helped a church that got planted there. We sponsored that church. And several of us from the church have been over to Cambodia on mission trips over the years. And so thousands and thousands of dollars helped that church become self-sufficient, which is now running without Western help. Now they're running by themselves. And now we're sending people to the Philippines. We're sending people to PNG. We're sending people to different nations of the earth. We're sending the Murrays over to India to do some mission work soon. Praise God. And you know, this is a sending church. And God spoke to me and he said, it's great that you go overseas and do missions, but what about your own backyard? And then this guy named Oscar joined our church and said, we need to start a soup kitchen. And I said, oh, I'm too busy for that. I'm a busy pastor. I've got a lot on my plate. And he said, just pray about it. It might be God's will. That's when I had hair. Remember that? A long time ago. About 9 years ago. 10 years ago. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm 48 tomorrow, everyone, just quietly. Yeah? Woo! Can you believe it? Over the hill and far away. I haven't got much time left. I really better get going, hey? How many of you know life is a mission trip? God spoke to us and said to start that soup kitchen and start reaching out to the last, the least, and the lost in this city. Because we've got to preach the gospel in our backyard, in our nation, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? Remember what happened in the book of Acts? The Holy Spirit came and said, you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're all called to be a missionary in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our universities, in our streets. I was so impacted. On Wednesday night, we had Paul Gibbs from Pace International come and speak. Paul's from Manchester in the UK, and he's got a very strong British accent, laddie. He turned a bit Scottish then for a moment. I don't know what happened to him. Anyway, he's from Manchester. That's how they see it, Manchester. Anyway, and he's now got ministries in all around the world. And he started out as a youth pastor in his local church. And there was a church down the road that had a youth ministry but no youth pastor. And his pastor said, I'm going to employ you to look after their youth group. Even though it's not our youth group, I'm going to employ you to go and look after their youth group. Because his pastor was a kingdom-minded pastor. Didn't just want to build his own church kingdom, he wanted to build the kingdom, amen? So he employed Paul to work as a youth pastor in this other church and get their youth group going until they raised up a youth leader, and then he came back. And he started ministering in schools. And God said to him, you've got to get into high schools, you've got to get into primary schools and share the gospel. And now he's got an army of thousands of young people who do a one-year internship, and they get sponsored to go into schools and share the gospel. And thousands come to Christ, all because one guy got this vision to be kingdom-minded, to go and share the good news. And I love what he said. He said, don't just preach the gospel and say Jesus came to rescue you. He said, Jesus came to recruit you. Somebody say amen. That's a good quote right there. He came to recruit you. Every one of you, you've got a job to do. You're all called to do something, amen? And he said it was all birthed in prayer. He said when he was a young man and he got the revelation that he could start praying and seeking God for the kingdom of God to come, he said everything in his life changed. And we're going to look at prayer in just a moment, but I just feel to unpack this. I just feel the anointing flowing in this place right now, and I just feel to challenge you on this. You know, when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, do you believe it can happen? So I'm here to tell you, if you look around the earth, you can see the prince of the power of the air. You can see the devil's work. You can see the drugs, the homelessness, the addictions, the violence, the domestic violence. You see the racism. You see the hatred, the unforgiveness. That's the work of the devil, okay? The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's trying to take out everyone he can on this earth because he knows his time's short, because he knows Jesus is coming back, and he's lost the battle, amen? So the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and he causes trouble on the earth. But when we as believers, the ecclesia, who has the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we can bring the kingdom into a circumstance. Amen? And Paul challenged us on Wednesday night. He said, I want you to picture your street. And he just made this comment. He said, imagine if in your street, for example, I'm just going to use the example of the street. He said it could be your workplace or your home or whatever, but I'm going to just say your street. I want everyone just to picture your street right now. So I'm picturing my street at Everton Park, all the houses that I walk past all the time. I'm picturing my street. Picture your street wherever you are. Think about it. And imagine if the kingdom of God came to that street. There'd be no more sickness. Because have you know there's no sickness in heaven? And when the kingdom comes, people are healed. Amen? Imagine there's no sickness in anyone in your street. Physical sickness or mental health sickness. Imagine if everyone got healed of their mental health problems in your street. Everyone got healed of their physical sickness in their street. Imagine if there was unforgiveness and bitterness in families and relationships in your street. That's not the kingdom of God, is it? Imagine if the kingdom of God came and there was reconciliation and forgiveness in everyone in your street. Imagine if in your street there might have been people that were in poverty and the kingdom of God came and all of a sudden they're walking in blessing and prosperity. Imagine that. Imagine if the kingdom of God came to your street. That's what we believe as Christians. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Poverty in heaven? No. Mental health problems in heaven? No. We believe for heaven to come. Now, some Christians just preach that you just got to hold on to the blood of Jesus and hold on to the gospel until Jesus returns and the world's going to hell in a handbasket and forget about what's going to happen on the earth because it's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. Just hold on because Jesus is coming back. I'm here to tell you that we can bring the kingdom of God wherever we go. Amen? I believe we can see cities transformed, streets transformed. I believe we're going to see the Philippines transformed. Amen? You know, I've been reading this book that my mate Bobby gave me by Ed Silvoso, Ecclesia, talking all about how the church has authority. You know, Jesus said, I've given you authority, amen, to trample on snakes. I've given you authority to cast out demons, authority to heal the sick, authority to preach the gospel and baptize people, amen. We've been given authority. There's one story from the Philippines I was just reading yesterday. I won't go into the details, but a real brief snapshot. There's a Christian business guy that inherits 8 businesses in the Philippines. And one of them is a hotel chain. In that hotel chain, he has 3,000 staff. And that hotel chain functions on prostitution. So those 3,000 staff service clients all day, every day in this hotel chain. And this Christian guy inherits this hotel chain that makes money off prostitution. So what does he do? He prays. He says, God, this is not right. My new business I've inherited is not right. It is the gates of hell right now. How do I bring the kingdom of God into this hotel chain? And so he feels God tell him to employ 30 pastors. That's not 30, that's 4, but 30 pastors. See, I'm good at counting now. He employed 30 pastors and he said, I don't want you to go and evangelize those women, those staff. I just want you to pray. Just go into those hotel rooms and pray and ask God to show you how to minister to these women at the right time. Pray for the lost before you witness to the lost. Amen? So they start praying, these 30 pastors, and then they start getting God opportunities to witness to these staff who are really doing the wrong thing in those hotel rooms. Out of the 3,000 staff, 2,600 of them come to know Jesus and stop doing what they shouldn't be doing in those hotel rooms. And then such a revival breaks out in this hotel chain that the culture changes, that whenever anyone checks in to the hotel, they say, would you like us to pray for you for anything as well while you're checking in? And people are requesting prayer and getting miracles instantly at the check-in before they even get their key to their room. because the kingdom of God has come. Transformation comes because the church becomes the ecclesia, the authority, the local authority to bring the kingdom in that community. That's what I'm believing in the 41 shelters that we minister here in Brisbane. We go out every Friday, three teams of us, and we go out. I went to one shelter on Friday that it's been just announced that they're not operating illegally. And most of the residents at Eco Inn near Jay Street in Bowen Hills are being kicked out this Wednesday. So out of like 40 of them or whatever, most of them are getting kicked out. And I thought, that's not right. We've got to do something about this. So I was on the phone to Luke. I was on the phone to Pastor Chris. And we're trying to work out how to help these precious souls find a place to move into. And we want to bring the kingdom to these precious souls. Amen? And, you know, that's what the church is meant to do. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. To bring the kingdom wherever we go. But it starts in prayer. Let's have a look at the word today. In verse 12, it says, "We ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live at peace with each other." This whole passage here from the Apostle Paul, he's telling us to honor our leaders, to be at peace with one another, to warn people who are lazy and disruptive, to encourage the disheartened, help the weak, not to repay evil for evil. I say that one to my kids regularly. This is basic Christianity 101. I actually love it how the Apostle Paul lists all these simple things that we need to do. It's like a New Testament version of the Ten Commandments. Honor one another, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, don't repay evil, love each other. And then he goes on with this verse I want to focus on in verse 16. He says, "Rejoice sometimes." Did I get that wrong? Are you standing up for the reading of the Word of God? Thank you. Thank you, Matt. You can sit down. It's all right. We already did that at the start. It says rejoice 99% of the time. Is that what it says? What does it say? Imagine if we actually obeyed that challenge from the Apostle Paul to rejoice always. Rejoice even when things aren't going well. Give thanks in all circumstances. Good times and bad times. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And then he goes on and he says, pray most of the time. He says, pray continually. How do you pray continually? It's a tough challenge, isn't it? I've just had 8 weeks on the road with my wife and kids. Tell you what, take teenagers to America. That'll be good for your prayer life. How do you pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? How do you pray continually? I want to suggest to you that you start your day with prayer and have that focus on the Lord at the start of the day and then keep praying. I know Colin, who's heard of Colin Buchanan, well-known Christian kid singer? He says you shoot up an arrow prayer. That's one of his songs, you know. Just shoot up an arrow prayer whenever you can. You look at the prophet Daniel prayed 3 times publicly in the daytime, didn't he? Morning, lunch, and night. He set aside times. I want to challenge you, if you want to pray continually, make an appointment with God. Set aside time to be with the Father in the morning, maybe at lunchtime, maybe at night. But you just need to get into the habit of habitual prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6 to 18. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love it how on Friday morning, before we go out to the shelters, we gather around in a circle and we pray. We pray for anyone that might be sick, anyone that's struggling. We lay hands on them. We prophesy over them. We pray for them. We get filled up. Then we go and pour it out. Friends, I want to challenge you every day. Get filled up and then let it flow out throughout the day. When my wife and I were staying at the Billy Graham Retreat in Asheville, North Carolina, it was pretty cold. We actually had some snow there in the last couple of days. It was beautiful, a bit different to today. But we had a special prayer rug that was in our cabin. It was owned by Anne Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, and it had the names of God, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, all the different names of God on there. And it was sewed together specifically for her for prayer. And it's in that, so we're able to go to bed at night with this rug of prayer that was bathed in prayer from the Billy Graham ministry on us. And we had this fire starter. We had a little log fire there, but it was gas. So you just click the button. There's a remote control and it comes on automatically. You didn't have to go out and get wood. You didn't have to stoke it. It was just, I felt like I was cheating, to be honest. But I would love it. I'd say, Josh, look, I'm using the force. And the fire would come on, you know. But there's something about watching the fire, isn't it? It's like God's TV. You ever been out in the bush and you lit a campfire and you sit there and it's mesmerizing? You don't need your phone or your device or anything. You just watch, look at the fire. How do we have a fired up, passionate, consistent prayer life? We heard of people that are on fire for God. Some of us have been blessed with being on fire for God. But if we walk with Jesus for any length of time, you know as well as I do that the fire can easily die down. Sometimes we can become lukewarm and we can let the flames flicker in our prayer life with God. We can become apathetic and we can let the things of the world dampen our prayer life. In Matthew 24, Jesus warned that in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. Now, as a pastor living in the last days, that scares me. I hope in this church we don't let the love of Christ grow cold, amen? I hope in this church we can keep the flames burning in our heart. How do we get on fire for God? Well, you know with the fire, you've got to stoke it, don't you? You've got to get the right materials to put on it. You've got to make sure there's oxygen to the fire. You've got to make sure that you keep it going. You can put petrol on it if you want it cheap, like we did at the men's camp a while back, Pete. But no, whatever you do, you just got to make sure the fire... my eyebrows have just grown back. Anyway, how do you keep the fire going? You keep the hottest embers at the center. You place new logs strategically to add to the fuel. And you keep watching the fire. You pay attention to the fire, otherwise it will go out. In John 15:5, Jesus tells us... Let's look on the screen. You'll see this verse. Let's read this together. Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's make no mistake. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. It's he that grows our faith. But we need to stoke that campfire of our faith. You can sit down, Matt. Thank you, buddy. There's always one. A fire left unattended is a fire that will sure go out. But a fire well attended will provide much heat. For a fire to burn the hottest, the heat is to remain at the center. And what is at the center of our prayer life? It is Jesus. Now, I don't want to badger you today and lecture you today about praying more and having more hours of prayer and this and that. What I want to challenge you today is to fall in love with Jesus more. Because when you fall in love with him, you want to be with him more. My beautiful wife, she's out doing kids now. I said to her halfway through our trip overseas, I said, honey, this is awesome seeing New York and LA and going to the Billy Graham. This is awesome. But I said, honey, and I got some good brownie points for this. I said, honey, the best thing of this trip is just being with you for 8 weeks nonstop. Smooth, eh? Smooth. Yeah. I might use that on Valentine's Day just quietly. Because, you know, it's our 20th anniversary in May, by the way, you know. I really love my wife. You may have noticed it. I really do. I love her company. I love traveling with her. I love sharing things with her. I love going out for meals with her. I love, you know, we just love being together. And when I'm not with her, I feel like, oh, half of me is missing, you know? Because we're one flesh. That's the way Christian marriage is meant to be, isn't it? But she can't be with me everywhere, can she? She's got to go and do kids' church. She can't be here with me while I'm, you know, she's got to go and do a job. She's got, you know. But you know what? Jesus can be with me everywhere. He promised us he would never leave us or forsake us. Amen? In the Psalms, it says there's nowhere we can flee from God's presence. And you know how I talked before about being a kingdom bringer in our streets, in our businesses, in our homes? Jesus didn't leave us as orphans, did he? He promised he'd be with us all the time. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things I've commanded you. And he said, and I will be with you till the very end of the age. He is with us here today. Has anybody sensed that he's here today? I really feel the anointing here today. I feel that God is here today. Jesus is here today. Whenever two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, he is here. Amen. He is bringing his kingdom to us. He's bringing healing to us today. Pastor Chris prayed for me this morning, getting ready to preach. And he said, I pray it would be just like when Peter preached. When he preached, the Holy Spirit came and people started speaking in tongues and prophesying. Because the kingdom of God came when he preached. Let's believe it that when we speak, we can change the atmosphere, amen? We can bring the kingdom of God because he is with us. Somebody say, he's with us. That's how we can pray continually. If we have a love relationship with Jesus, and if we acknowledge that he is with us all the time, we'll just be in a constant conversation. With our mouths open sometimes, sometimes just in our heart and in our spirit, but let's keep that conversation. Prayer is a two-way street, amen? It's not just talking to God, it's listening to him as well. So let's listen to him speak to us and let's obey, let's pray and obey. Jesus is to remain at the center. He is the vine and we are the branches. Martin Luther said this, remember your baptism. In other words, remember where Jesus found you. Assess how far you've come. If we want to keep the fire of prayer burning in our life, let's remember where we came from. Let's build a true place of worship every day. You know, as humans, we are plagued by forgetfulness. Jesus comes to us, he saves us, he redeems us, he walks with us. And then just like the Israelites throughout biblical history, we forget. The Old Testament shows the people of Israel coming to God, then prospering, and then forgetting about God, turning to idols and backsliding. Then God raises someone up, they listen to them, and then they repent, and then the cycle repeats. How many of you know that happens through all the Old Testament? They come to God, they follow him, they prosper, then they forget about God and they worship idols, and they turn away, then God raises up a prophet, and it just is a cycle that goes round and round and round. And I want to confess to you, it happens in my life too. There's times where I'm on fire for God and I'm prospering and I'm blessed and then you forget about him and you do it in your own strength. And then God speaks to you or someone speaks to you, you repent, you come back to God and you say, it's not by my might or my power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Where are you at on that cycle right now? Are you at a place where everything's been going great and you've forgotten about God? You think you're fine by yourself? Or are you at a place where you're at rock bottom and you're desperate for God to come and help you today? Wherever you're at on that cycle, let's remember the Lord. Let's come back to him. All through the book of Deuteronomy, it says, remember the Lord your God. Remember what the Lord your God did. Remember that you were a slave. Remember, remember, remember. One way to stoke the fire of your prayer life is to remember what the Lord has done in your life. Take some time, get alone with God and reminisce. Who remembers when they first got saved? I remember at the age of 15, putting my hand up at a youth camp and I was so on fire for God. I went and preached to all my mates at school. I became a youth leader. I was on fire. And then had some health issues. I started a backslide and got a bit lukewarm, got into the world a bit, and then I came back to God, ended up going to Bible college, got on fire for God. Then I ended up going through some financial struggles and some relationship struggles, went down, fell away from God. Then I came back to God and got on fire for God and How many of you know that's what our life can be like? Always remember to come back to God as your first love, amen? We sang that in the prayer room this morning, didn't we, Glenn? That Keith Green song. Replace the lamp of my first love and let it burn with holy fear, amen? That should be our prayer today. Come back to Jesus as your first love. Remember what he's done. Let's look at this verse from Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3. My wife and I had this at our wedding 20 years ago. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now, I just got to explain something, guys. At the Black Gospel Church, they stood up for the first Bible verse, not the rest of them. Because otherwise, you'll be standing up and down like a yo-yo all service, all right? So just have a seat and calm your farm. Take a chill pill, my goodness. There's two in every crowd. Anyway. Forget not all his benefits, amen? Who knows he's forgiven our sins? Who's had healing before from God? Don't forget that. Be grateful for every healing, every miracle, every deliverance. One of the keys to keeping that fire burning is remembering what God has done. One of my favorite songs at the moment is from Brandon Lake. He wrote a song called Gratitude. It says, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. He says, I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again, because all that I have is a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah. In that song, it's called Gratitude. And he talks about having a heart of gratitude, being grateful for what God has done. The song says, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. I reckon that is one of the best lyrics I've heard in a worship song for a while. Because doesn't that happen? We get a bit shy. We get a bit kind of, oh, I'm not sure if I really want to worship God in front of other people, or oh, I'm not sure if I really want to show a public display of what God loves. You know, like Matty was just telling me here, he drives to his work and he worships the Lord and he sings. And he said, I used to be really worried what people think about me. He said, now I don't care what people think about me. You can tell that, can't you? He just worships God in public. He doesn't care anymore. Sometimes you need to say that. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. You see it time and time again all through the book of Psalms, saying, my soul will praise the Lord. Make a decision to have gratitude for God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. Enter his courts with praise. I love the campfire parallel, but the problem with it is that you need to keep a campfire contained so that it won't spread like a bushfire. That's where I disagree with the parallel. Because I believe when you get on fire, it spreads to those around you, amen? John Wesley said, get on fire and people will come and watch you burn, amen? Anybody on fire for Jesus here today? Once you stoke your fire, it'll be contagious. It'll spread through your family, through your street, through all the shared homes around the city, in your businesses, in your schools, in your universities. The fire will spread. Philemon 6 says this, I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith so that you understand every good thing you have in Christ. One thing I pray daily for this church is that we'll be active in sharing our faith, because then we'll remember the good things we have in Christ. How do you remember the good things you have in Christ? You're active in sharing your faith. When you get on fire, you can't help but be a contagious Christian. Let's intentionally pursue the passionate, fiery faith of God and remembering that Christ is at the center of our life. The last bit of that verse, in verse 19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. You know, one thing I love about New Hope is that we're messy. Who likes messy church? We are messy. We threw out our program schedule a long time here at this church. Some churches you go to and it's by the minute. Everything's clocked and organized and the pastor's, you know, like a MC presenting this and that. It's all schmick and, you know, God bless them if that's what they're called to do. Not this church, amen? We don't want to quench what the Holy Spirit's doing here. If God's moving in worship, we'll just keep worshiping. If God's moving in prophetic words, we'll let prophetic words flow. If God is anointing the preacher and the preacher wants to preach till 1 p.m., we'll do it. Is it? Oh, hang on. Whoa. No, don't worry. I won't keep you too long. It's okay. But how many of you know we don't want to quench the Spirit? If the Holy Spirit's moving, we need to fan into flame the gift of God. Amen? Every one of us. I was thinking about this. You know, last week I challenged everyone and I said, my heart behind this series on a revival in prayer is that everyone will go up one or two notches in their prayer life. So some of you may already be at a 9 out of 10 and you're an awesome prayer warrior. Some of you may be at a 1 out of 10 and you don't pray much. My goal is wherever you are that you'll just go up a little bit more. Now that could mean more time or it could just mean more genuine prayer. Because how many of you know it's not really the words you say, it's actually your heart when you pray. God hears and sees everything that's going on. He knows what's happening. We just need to be more genuine and passionate in our prayers. And I thought about it, you know. If we truly wanted to see a revival and transformation in this city, and this city transformed, you know, it'd be great if everyone was praying and on fire. But you know what? I reckon God could do it if just one person in this church stood in the gap and said, I'm going to be that person who's a catalyst for revival in this city, in this nation. William Booth said, I'm not waiting for a move of God. He said, I am a move of God. And look at the Salvation Army. Look at that ministry that's changed the world because he was that one man that stood in the gap. Now, it could be me as the pastor and I'm going to give it all I got. Amen? But it could be you, Verge. You could be the one who prays and intercedes and sees miracles and breakthrough and brings revival. It could be you, Rachel, over there. It could be you. It could be you, Bobby. It could be you, Marion. It could be you, Warren. It could be you, Pete. Who's it going to be? Imagine if all of us did. But God could do it with just one person that would pay the price to intercede and pray and seek God's face and be a catalyst for revival in this city and this nation. Just blows your mind. Has anybody seen the movie Bruce Almighty? There's this silly scene in it where, you know, Bruce Almighty's got the thoughts of God and all this kind of stuff, and he's answering all these emails of people praying. People all around the world are praying for things and he's just giving answers to all of them. And all these things, you know, people are winning the lottery and people are, all these things are happening because he just says yes to everyone's prayers, you know, all at once. And it's a bit of a silly scene, but you just got to realize God is awesome. He is massive. He is huge. He has the capacity to hear 8 billion people on the earth. He can hear all our prayers at once. And some of us, he'll say yes to our prayers. Some he'll say no. Some he'll say wait. Or some he'll answer in a different way we don't understand. All we know is he's told us to pray. He's told us to pray continually and not to quench the Spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test them all, hold on to what is good. Reject every form of evil and pray continually. The last bit we're going to close with in just a moment. The last bit there. He says, pray for us, brothers and sisters. Pray for us. Greet all people, all God's people with a holy kiss. But he says, pray for us. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know Jesus is coming back soon? There's a parable that's told about the 10 virgins. 5 of them had lamps filled with oil. 5 of them, they were empty. And he said, be like the 5 that had their lamps filled, ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you fill that lamp with oil, the fire burns, amen? I want to challenge you today. be found in the secret place. Be found as a man or a woman of prayer. Pray, make an appointment with God in the morning, and then pray through the day. Shoot up an arrow prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the kingdom of God to come in your street. Pray for us, for the leaders of this church. We need your help. You know, this week we had a pastor's prayer gathering with 30 pastors from the city region of Brisbane. At the same time, there was one happening at Logan that's just been launched. 30 pastors gathered together in Logan as well. And we're setting up prayer movement, pastors' prayer gatherings in the 16 LGAs, local government associations, all around Southeast Queensland. And we're believing for revival in every local government area in the lead up to the 2032 Olympics. And we're going to see something like Pentecost happen around Southeast Queensland. Amen. When all the nations of the world gathered together, Psalm 133 says, where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Amen. So pray for us pastors and leaders. God's doing something in our churches. The walls are coming down. Doesn't matter what labels in our church, amen. We are kingdom-minded people. Will you pay the price to be a man or a woman of prayer? Will you intercede and stand in the gap? Will you pray for your leaders? Will you pray for the prodigals to come home? Will you pray for healing and miracles wherever you go? Will you pray for people to be delivered of evil spirits? Will you pray for God to speak to you and convict you of your sin? Will you pray for God to purify you and make you the man and woman of God you're meant to be? Will you pray and then will you obey? That's my challenge to you today. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, challenging them to pray unceasingly, to pray and to never give up. Father, we want to be found as men and women of prayer. We want to be faithful. We don't want our love to grow cold. We pray that you'll fan into flame the gifts you've given us and stoke that fiery passion of prayer in our lives today. And Father, I pray for everyone here today that you'll pour out your Spirit in power on every person, that we will be kingdom bringers wherever we go this week. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed before we close the service. Firstly, I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond and give your life to Him. Maybe you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus today, I would love to pray for you and have your sins forgiven. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If today you want to start a new life following Jesus and you want to pray that prayer with me, I just want you to slip up your hand real high if you want to give your heart to Jesus. Is there anybody today? Good on you, brother. I see that up the back. Is there anybody else that says, yes, I want to come to Jesus today? Just put your hand up real high and I'll pray with you. Looking around up the back and around the sides, is there anybody else that says, yes, today's the day for me. I want to come to Jesus and have my sins forgiven. Just put up your hand real high. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Well, God bless you if you prayed that prayer. We'll come and give you a Bible soon and follow you up in just a moment. Why don't we stand to our feet? I really believe that Pastor Carol's communion today was a powerful word.